for community safety. I'll be asking them what cuts they're having to make, how it's going to affect your safety, but it's also your chance to put any point you'd like to them. I want to hear from you. If you've got a question, we'll get you on directly. You can talk to them straight away. 0370 411 1046. So very good morning to Simon Moore, Assistant Chief Officer for Operations at Surrey Fire and Rescue, and also very good morning to Kay Hammond from Surrey County Council.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming up. First question, how much does it actually cost to run the fire service in Surrey? Who's got the figures in front of them?
It's we have a budget, an annual budget this year of £34.2 million.
£34.2 million. And what do you get for your money for your £34.2 million, Simon?
I don't think you've got long enough until 9 o'clock. I mean, obviously, people focus on the response side, which is our responding to emergencies, road traffic collisions, fires, and obviously road traffic collisions is a very significant factor in Surrey.
What would you say as a percentage of your budget and time is taken up dealing with those? Because, you know, whenever there is a serious smash on the motorway, more often than not, you guys are on scene.
Well, an awful lot of our budget's tied up with having frontline staff available to respond. But what I would want to emphasise is response is one element. Obviously, we've put a lot of time and energy into preventative work. We do preventative work within schools, within Safe Drive, Stay Alive, for instance, to reduce the number of road traffic collisions. We put a show on for all 16, 17, 18-year-olds in Surrey that are beginning to drive.
And you constantly ram home the message to get a smoke alarm.
Absolutely.
Or get another smoke alarm and make sure the batteries work.
And I would encourage, you know, any of the listeners that we do a free home fire risk check service, and the free phone number 0800 0850 767.
You're going to have to give me that one again.
Okay.
0800 0800 0850 767.
You know, if they ring that, they can book a free home fire safety check.
Wow. I will give out that number at the end of this interview if anyone didn't have a pen, but if you do get a pen, I will read out the number Simon just gave you at the end of the interview. In terms of how many fatalities there are in Surrey on an annual basis, how many people do die in fires in this county?
Thankfully, a relatively small number. It's absolutely tragic for anyone involved. In dwelling fires, it varies from year to year. Last year, I think, was 3. This year, we're slightly higher already. We're on 5.
Really?
Typically, I would want to say, you know, something about the type of people we find are dying. Typically, we are talking about elderly people who live on their own, usually with some form of disability, the problems with dementia, you know, people being looked after in the community. And they are people we're very keen to work with the carers to better understand what provisions can be put in place, because tragically that happens at any time of day. That type of person is vulnerable. Often by the time the fire service even realise the fire has occurred, the person's already dead.
Yes, of course. We'll pick that up with you, Kay, in just a few moments' time, but I do want to go to a caller. This is David in Guildford. Hi, David.
Hello.
What did you want to say to Simon Moore and Kay Hammond?
Yeah, I understand the current fire station in Guildford is dilapidated and in need of upgrade, also sitting on prime building land. Can you assure us that the new building that you're going to put up will have adequate or superlative facilities for firemen to do their work properly and safely, and also would have easy access to A3, M25 and all surrounding areas as the current station has?
You sound like you know your onions. Are you a member of the Fire Brigade Union?
No, I'm nothing to do with the Fire Brigade. I have had cause to use their services in the past when a neighbour's flat caught fire underneath me, and their prompt attendance both saved my neighbour and my flat.
Goodness me, you're a concerned citizen. David wants to make sure he's going to get exactly the same service if you do flatten the current Guildford building.
he's going to get a better service. The reality is that, yes, it is prime building land, but the plans for the new Guildford Fire Station, which I've been trying to drive through for some time, planning application just about to go in, will be on the same site. So that the response will be better. It'll be further towards Guildford, so our access out onto
Sorry,
the road...
just for people who don't know, where exactly is the site at the moment?
The road
Lady,
is
on... It's Ladymead.
Ladymead Road, okay.
By the A3 junction. Okay.
So the new fire station will be fit for purpose for training for our new for our firefighters. It'll be able to house the new appliances that we've got. It will increase the response times. So it, just to give you assurance that, yes, the old fire station is dilapidated. It's not fit for purpose, which is why the County Council is investing in this programme to get a new fire station for Guildford and the wider area.
Are you reassured, David?
I'm pleased that she's saying that. I would also hope that they build in capacity for the next 50 years while they build it and not do it on the cheap, because they owe the firefighters a duty of care, which means adequate restrooms, changing facilities, sleeping facilities, to protect their lives so they can protect ours.
I can assure you that the new premises have been designed with firefighters in mind, and actually they have input into the design process.
David in Guildford, thank you for your call. Simple as that. If you want to speak to Simon Moore from Surrey Fire and Rescue, or Kay Hammond, who has the responsibility for the Fire and Rescue Service within the County Council, 0370 411 1046. We've got an excellent point about a Freedom of Information request that was made with regard to the staffing of the main control room for Surrey Fire and Rescue at Reigate, which I'll bring you in just a few moments' time. First, let's take a break for the headlines. It's 13 minutes to nine. And Aurelia Allen has the news.
Good morning. Thanks, Nick. People living along the A25 and a local MP want Surrey County Council to do something about the number of HGVs using the road. They say it could be dangerous. The Foreign Office Minister, Jeremy Brown, has said that the Royal Bank of Scotland's chief executive, Stephen Hester, should turn down his bonus of £963,000 in shares as a matter of honour. And South West Trains and Network Rail together have come up with a plan to improve the service after both admitted there'd been a dip in performance.
Let's have a look at the weather then. Sunny spells, a few wintry showers could develop. It's going to feel cold with highs of 8 degrees Celsius, 46 degrees Fahrenheit. It's going to be freezing tonight. We may get a frost tomorrow morning. But a nice Saturday is in prospect. The sun sets at 20 to 5 this afternoon.
Keeping Surrey moving. Travel news from BBC Surrey.
Well, if you're heading on to the motorways, not too bad at all, actually. M25, M23 and the M3 have all been very well behaved this morning, and at the moment they're all running without too many issues, so good news there. A3 southbound, there was a broken down car which was stuck just after the Wisley roundabout. That's been shifted out the way. It was between the M25 and Ripley, but that's been moved very quickly by the police, so no problems there. Top of Reigate Hill's getting back to normal. It's still pretty slow, but it's not as slow as it was earlier on. There was an accident at the Ray Lane Junction earlier on, but that's all now been shifted out of the way. If you are heading for public transport at the moment, there's a good service on the trains and there's a good service on the tubes. I'm Hugh Broome at the Godstone Travel Centre.
Help keep Surrey moving. Call 0370 411 1046. BBC Surrey.
We have Simon Moore, who's the Assistant Chief Officer for Operations at Surrey Fire and Rescue, and Kay Hammond from Surrey County Council, both in the hot seat. Not the same hot seat. We have managed to find them two separate chairs this morning. We used to call this holding two accounts, and so it seemed apt that we changed the name on the morning that we had Surrey Fire and Rescue in. Very good morning to you both. Before we talk about this Freedom of Information request and the staffing at the Reigate Control Room, let's go back to this issue of the number of deaths that we've already had, accidental deaths in Surrey this year, five alone, when the annual average is four a year. We heard Simon say it's often very vulnerable people, Kay Hammond, who sadly get caught out like this. What are you doing as someone who has responsibility for community safety to reduce this death toll?
Well, it's obviously very tragic when these things happen, but it's really important to analyse and look. We can't talk about specific incidents on air, but I've already set in place a working group of members to scrutinise and look at the processes that we have in place at the County Council with services working together and indeed the wider community.
What can you look at? What exactly can you do? Because if people have naked flames in their homes and they're not... you know, 100% with it, then anything can happen.
Well, we need the information that that people are vulnerable for a start. Fire and rescue can only respond with the information they have. Care workers go into homes, social care services go into vulnerable elderly people, and we need to be alert to that. And I need to be satisfied that the processes between different departments of the County Council are working effectively, so as much information is available to enable us to respond when necessary.
Simon, what would you like to see happen? What do you think the council should be doing to make sure vulnerable people don't get caught out like this?
Well, what I would say is, obviously, I think quite rightly for people, there is an effort to keep people in their home where they want to be. With it comes challenges. And as a fire and rescue service, obviously we are committed to meeting those challenges, to working with other agencies to improve the safety of that individual and the provision for that individual. But I recognise there's a great deal of personal choice in this, and it is often best for the person to be in the location where they're comfortable and where they want to see out the remainder of their life. So there are some challenges in this, and we are very keen to work with other agencies to make sure the offer is as appropriate as it can be.
Hmm. Okay, well, let's move on. I've had an email from a chap called Stephen who says, an FOI request has shown that the main control room at Reigate is often understaffed even before Isle of Wight emergency calls are handled by this control room. Should we be worried?
I don't have the detail, obviously, of the Freedom of Information
request. I did actually read this when it first came out, and the staffing levels are below the optimum, had been below the optimum on a pretty consistent basis.
Well, what I would say is, with the Isle of Wight, we have a programme in place, and that will not be the case going forward. And our response and our experience of call handling is very good in the county. So the simple answer is no, you shouldn't be worried. But I don't have the detail as to the programme going forward with the Isle of Wight.
Okay, well, let's speak to Richard Jones, who's from the Fire Brigades Union. Richard, do you think we should be worried?
I'm concerned. I've got concerned about understaffing at all levels within the control room, but also amongst the fire crews out on the stations. We have been riding the pumps undercrewed for the last couple of years on the majority of occasions, and that is set to get worse as the service is now running down the establishment to make the cuts which the council agreed last July.
I mean, is that anecdotal that you've been understaffed on the pumps, or have you got the statistical evidence to back that up?
Oh no, there's plenty of statistical evidence to show that most of the pumps have been riding with crews of four rather than five, which we should be doing.
I mean, is the number of deaths that we've seen an increase in this year a statistical blip, or do you think it's a direct result of the cuts that have been made in the last few years?
I think we're going to see a trend of greater injuries and deaths going up, because the speed and weight of attack within Surrey is getting diminished year by year. At the moment, the cuts proposed in terms of loss of pumps haven't come through, but the staffing has been reduced, and that is decreasing the weight of attack when we do attend emergency incidents.
I mean, isn't it a simple equation, Simon? More fewer staff, less ability to attend incidents, more deaths.
Well, what I would say is the public safety plan has been drawn up with an understanding that the demands upon the Fire and Rescue Service have significantly changed in recent years. We have to adapt to that. For example, 5 years ago, we were attending over 15,000 incidents a year. In the year 2010-11, that number had dropped to around about 11,000. We've also looked at when our incidents occur, and it's clear that the demand during the daytime is greater than it is at night. So in these times of challenge, we are looking at more closely predicting demand, and we're also responding to the fact that the range and complexity of incidents is different, but the number of incidents is reducing.
also, if I can say, Richard, I know that you know that through lobbying by the Fire Brigades Union, we in the plan have put in the requirement that we will be riding five firefighters on each appliance, and that is stipulated in the plan for the future, but that will take time to implement, and obviously in negotiations with the unions and everybody else. But it is there's a clear statement in our public safety plan to ride five on fire stations, and I have on fire appliances, and I have to say in most parts of the country that is not what happens. In some places it's three.
Richard
so
Jones?
We're doing more.
Richard Jones from the Fire Brigades Union.
Yeah, I mean, Clay's absolutely right. The council has said they will put five on every pump in the RMP, but that's not happened yet. It hasn't happened in the past, and there's no date on when it will happen. But when it does happen, that is when the cuts of the pumps will arrive. Now, I do need to remind you of that. If we get to five on the pumps, it will be because these cuts have been made, which will be reductions in pumps, either a night, day or both, at Esher, Epsom, Gomshaw, Guildford, Staines, Cambly, Lingfield, Oxted, Cramley, Dunsfold, Godalming, Hazelmere, Woking.
The list
goes
on.
In other words, it's hard to find a place in Surrey which isn't going to take a cut.
Well, stick with us, Richard, for a moment, because you mentioned Woking there. I want to bring my guest's attention to the front page of the Surrey Advertiser this morning. Fears over future site of town's fire station. We've spoken about Guildford. The possible relocation of Woking Fire Station away from the town centre could have drastic consequences. It has been claimed, a member of your fire service is quoted anonymously saying, no one's telling us what's going on, what exactly is happening. It's all gone very quiet. We have these concerns. Kay Hammond, you address that, I guess, with regard to Guildford. Do you want to address that with regard to Woking?
There is always ongoing discussions with local authorities about the appropriate sites for fire stations, and any change to the existing site would be subject to full consultation. There's been ongoing discussions for years. I mean, ever 2009, when I took on this responsibility, I was asked the very same question. There is always a discussion about whether the site is appropriate. At the moment, there's no clear plans to change the Woking site at the moment.
Richard Jones, your response to that?
Well, if Woking does move to another location within the Woking area, that doesn't cause me a problem in the fact that the station is just moving from one location to another, and it may be the ability to get a better station in place because the old one does need a lot of work done. However, if that results in lack of fire cover, if that change of location results in less fire cover, then we would be opposed to that.
I see your concerns. Just before you go, is Surrey Fire and Rescue a happy organisation right now?
And no, it's not. I mean, that's not just what's going on in Surrey, but nationally we are being hammered by the government on pensions and pay. We've come out for a 3-year pay cut, and we're just about to go into a 2 years of pay cap. On top of that, we already pay 11% of our salary into the pension scheme, and the government wants to raise that to 13.2%, which would equate to nearly £400 for a firefighter.
A lovely day to hear about bankers' bonuses. Richard Jones from the FBU, thank you. I'm going to put that directly to Simon Moore from Surrey Fire and Rescue. You have a very unhappy... You're running an unhappy ship.
One of the things I would want to respond is we are talking about national terms and conditions of service. So that's probably not for Kay or I to be able to comment upon, because they are...
But you can do
something
about morale, can't you?
Absolutely, but if you listen to the backdrop you were talking about, and I recognise a very dedicated workforce who are very focused on what they do, who want to be firefighters. So there are two sides to this. I have a very dedicated workforce who want to serve the public. The issues that Richard brought out, I just want to focus on national terms and conditions.
OK, well, it's going to be a very interesting 12 months. And I'm